This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and today I'm joined by our Johnson County Assessor, Steve Esponder. Good afternoon, Steve. How nice to see you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for spending some time with me, and we're going to take a deep dive into the really mysterious world of property tax. It's something that we've been talking about a lot, and homeowners, property owners, have really felt the pinch and the sting of increasing tax burden, and the legislature has worked hard to address that problem and to reduce that. But before we get to some of the detail of what's happening this year as you send out notifications and so on, is maybe you just explain for a moment what the assessor's office does and how it kind of works and butts up against the county commissioners or the treasurer for the county and so on. What's your role and what is it that you do?
Okay, the duties of the assessor's office are, for number one, is to determine and evaluate properties that are taxable. That's the number one. We have to come up with values, but we have to appraise parcels and houses and vacant land at the fair market value, which is based upon sales, unless it's an agriculture property, which is based upon production values, but we can get into that later. We have to map every time there's a deed or a split of a parcel. We have to get it mapped. We have to get it correct. We have to adjust the land, the acres, whatever it is, whether it's residential or commercial. Sometimes that makes a difference in the valuation. Sometimes it doesn't. It kind of depends on where it's at. We have to sign people up for exemptions now. That's a new duty. We always had the veterans exemption, but now we have the long-term homeowners. And with the homeowners exemption and the residential land caps and the residential building improvement caps, it's a lot more involved than it used to be. And we're still, we figured it out, but we're still figuring it out, put it that way.
Well, I'm sure we're going to get into the weeds on some of that in a moment. You described assessing and basically creating for each property a value, an assessed value. What factors go into that? Is that something that, is that a number that you pick and that you make an estimate on? How is that constructed?
Well, if it's vacant land, it's put into a land economic area. We call it an LEA. Generally, those land economic areas are, they have a boundary that makes sense. They're, tight, the same kind of properties, or compared to other properties, same size properties. Problem with Johnson County, a lot of our county is so diverse that, you can't have a separate LEA for every five parcels. And our county changes in five parcels sometimes. So we have some bigger, broader LEAs. We try to group land values together by how they sold and how they are. If it's got a house on it, then we have to know the square footage of the house. We have to know what we have to put a quality. It's a grade. It tells how we appraise the value of the house, depending on if it's a very expensive looking home. It's because it has a lot of angles. It's got a lot of height to it. It has expensive windows, a lot of custom type work. I mean, that's going to get assessed at a bigger percentage or bigger value per square foot than, a square house that's got 8 foot roof and nothing else to it.
So would it be possible for a very high-end multi-facing house with a lot of custom work that is actually with a smaller footprint than maybe a bigger, very plain basic house, would it be possible for that smaller but more high-end house to be valued higher than the one which is actually of a larger size?
Yes, it could be. And I mean, what we do is we look and we measure a house, we put it into our system, and we put a quality grade on it, whether that be from, basically poor to excellent. An average house being the average house, and that's kind of that's changing as we, an average house today is not the same as an average house 30 years ago.
One of the issues that property owners have experienced here in Johnson County is that the value of properties rose dramatically after about 2020-2021, and that is what kicked up the property tax, because the houses around them, the properties around them, or maybe even they sold their property and moved somewhere else, sold for a much higher price than previously. How do you factor in market value?
Okay, market value is, I mean, you take a neighborhood, you know, just take maybe your city. Not, it's more than a city block. It's several city blocks. But you take a neighborhood, and we have 10 sales, say, from last year in that neighborhood. We look at the appraised value on the properties. We look at the actual sales price on the properties, and we divide that number to come up with a sales ratio. Sales ratio is just the percentage that's being assessed at versus what it's sold for. The Department of Revenue and the State Board of Equalization give us tolerance numbers, if you will, that we have to be at within. We have to be within a certain number as the county whole for each year. Okay, so we have to be at 95% appraisal rate up to 1.05 or 100.5%.
So there is a sort of that's an inbuilt sort of check and balance on each assessor, so that you know, it's not random. It's not just whatever you think. There is actually some guardrails for that.
Yes, the State Board of Equalization is who certifies our values, so we can actually send out tax bills. We can't do that beforehand. but they have those numbers from 95 to 105. The Department of Revenue within each neighborhood can be from 90% to 110%. So it's a little bit broader, but we can't have the whole county at 90% and expect to come in at 95% for the Department or the State Board of Equalization. So we shoot for, you know, the lower end that we can get away with, the 95 to 96 level. So when we have a bunch of sales and they are not, all those sales are being assessed at a lower rate than 95, we have to adjust them. So we can either adjust them through adjustments on the buildings, or we can adjust it through the land.
I wanted to ask you about this because it's sometimes confusing or unclear as to when we talk about property tax relief. Some people may be very much thinking that's their house, and other people understand the word property to mean their house and the land that it sits on. How do you differentiate between those two?
Well, before you build a house, you know, you have to buy the land, generally. That's the way it works. So you get land values on raw vacant land. I mean, that's a start. So you have a whole, you know, 10 parcels just sold in a new subdivision. You have new values for those. Hopefully they're consistent with each other in the price that they sold for. Makes it easier that way than having them scattered all over. But so you take the land value of a house, and if it's out of town, you're going to build a house on it. Okay, the first thing you have to do probably is drill a well, put a septic in, and you have to get power to it. So after you've done that, I mean, I don't know, in today's world, you probably already have.
So that would increase the value of that piece of land before you've even put up somewhere that you could live in.
You may have $150,000 more in it by that point than you did when you bought it, before you even put a foundation in. I mean, I don't know what that exact figure is. I'm sure it's different depending on where you are, how deep your well is, whatever. There's many factors, but that same scenario 20 years ago, you're probably looking at $30,000 or $40,000.
Right.
Now you're probably looking at, you know, adding zero to that.
I mean, and
you know, at least adding 10 times that. It's probably 130.
So are you applying things differently to land which is currently being improved in that way that you described of the basic infrastructure versus land which has already got those amenities on it with a property too?
Yes.
Do you assess differently?
For the most part, yes. There's still some areas around that haven't really converted over to that yet. I haven't done that yet. I mean, each time a new person comes in, there's a different way of doing certain things. You know, and sometimes when you don't have a problem with an area or with values, it's not fixed because it's not broken. Okay, now last year I did quite a few neighborhoods or LEAs that I used a more land-based adjustment instead of the improvement adjustment on it. And I know that I the land values were going to go up to make up the difference, but I also knew that people had a 4% cap on those same properties, so they were not going to see any raise in their taxes. It makes their value or their land value look a lot higher. And a lot of those places in the same areas, their improvement value came down because I took the adjustment off of the improvement, put it on the land, but I still had to, if the values went up, it was because the sales in that area were up higher.
So that is, and that is a very important thing to remember, isn't it? That you may have a property that then all of a sudden becomes a very popular area, and that is going to transform your property value, but also your tax.
Yes. I mean, that's the whole reason that we have to go through this process every year, is because with the sales from each year, and especially when they're escalating like they have been, we have to make adjustments every year.
And so it would be reasonable then for a property owner to expect to see some kind of fluctuation depending on what their neighborhood
has
been doing. And, you know, that will vary year by year. But right now, people are beginning to open. You've sent out and people are beginning to open up their notifications. And on the whole, I would think they're a lot happier with you this year than last year.
I think anybody that has a residential property, it's lower than it was last year. I mean, there's probably something out there that didn't go lower because of some other reason. It wasn't just because
because the value of properties has not dropped dramatically. I mean, may not be as many sales as there were, but the price of homes and land has not decreased.
Right.
So it's not that is changing anything.
When they gave the 50% or 25% reduction in taxes, that didn't mean that it was going to be 25 or 50% cheaper than last year. It means that whatever it was going to be this year, it's going to be 25 to 50% lower.
So let's talk about these things, because there were a number of different reductions that have caused you some... You have to change the way that you administer things, but also have been quite confusing. There, this year at the legislative session, after a lot of discussion, finally settled on a 25% reduction for the primary residence. There's no sunset, as is described, which means that goes on until the legislature decide to change that. And that's just on owner-occupied properties.
It will be for owner-occupied next year.
Okay.
This year, it's on everything that we have as considered residential. So basically a house with somebody living in it. It doesn't matter who it is, but somebody living in a house is residential.
So if you owned multiple properties and you don't just get that 25% reduction on that one property in which you live, it's on any of them in which anybody else lives. So rented. But then next year it changes.
Yes.
How are you going to manage that process?
Well, next year it's going to be coined owner-occupied. And I know that the Department of Revenue is working with the Assessors Association, is trying to get in place an online link that will allow people to, they're going to have to sign an affidavit stating and signing their name to the fact that they do live in their home for 8 months out of the year. You know, that's the only thing we can do. We can't prove otherwise whether somebody lives in their home or whether they don't live in their home, but they have to sign an affidavit similar to the long-term homeowners having to sign the same piece of paper saying that they live in their home for 8 months out of the year.
If you pick up and read your notification, you'll see that there is a mention of the long-term homeowners reduction, which is a 50% reduction.
Mm-hmm.
That is only for 2 years. That does sunset.
That does sunset after 2026. And a lot of people have signed up for this early this year. I mean, early last year. They were signed up in October. And a lot of people are actually coming in and wanting to sign up for 2026 already, but we don't have anything for that yet. They need to wait till after they get their tax bills, if they've already signed up, before they sign up for 2026.
Now, can you describe what you need to have in place to be able to qualify for that 50% long-term homeowners?
Okay, the form is very simple, actually, and 9 times out of 10, you can fill it out right at our counter in 5 minutes' time. I mean, a lot of times I fill them out for them. It's very easy. You know, if you need to have a photo ID, just to state that that's, you are who you are, you are who you say you are. We have to put the name, your name down as the applicant. You have to be 65 years older, or older, when you, at the time of signing the piece of paper. Now, it's not...
So, you need to be 65 years old, or older, mm-hmm. and you need to have lived in Wyoming for 25 years, yes. but not necessarily consecutively.
Right. You've had to just paid residential taxes somewhere in Wyoming for 25 years.
So it's not just living in Wyoming, it's having paid residential taxes.
Yes.
But you could have been here as a 25-year-old, left for 10 years, come back, gone again, and it doesn't matter. So long as you've been paying those residential taxes, it's not good. It doesn't qualify if you've just been paying rent.
Right.
You have to pay the residential tax.
Yeah, and it could be in any county.
Okay.
I mean, that those are the, if it's, if your situation is complicated, then you'll need to give us, you'll need to know your dates of, and addresses of where you lived.
Right.
We have a form, you have to list that. I mean, for the most part, people haven't lived in more than two places probably. So they have two addresses they have to write down, and they check a box that says I'm 65, they check a box that says they're the owner, and they sign it.
So can you stack those two together to make it a 75% reduction by putting that 25% reduction that was brought in this year, and then you add it to your long-term homeowner's reduction, or does one trump the other, so to speak?
The long-term homeowners trumps the homeowners.
Okay.
If you apply, if you...
But you have to have applied for it. It's not automatically applied.
Yes. If you've applied for the long-term homeowners... and you get it, then you don't get the homeowner's exemption on top of that.
So how many people have you had applying for the long-term homeowner's reduction?
As of, I think, early last week, we had approximately 474 in Johnson County.
Was that a number that surprised you, or were you thinking that's...
You know, I didn't really know. I mean, there's,
it's very hard
there's
to
ways
imagine,
you can
it?
Guess by going through the census material, but it really didn't matter because it's going to be what it is. I mean,
and if somebody's been... if somebody's not aware of this, is it too late?
No, it is not. When they signed this bill, they said that they had until the fourth Monday in May.
Okay.
To
but after the fourth Monday in May, that's it. You could only apply for next year, and that would be the last year.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And along with that, since our notice of values are already out, if you were to sign up for that long-term homeowners today, I would tell you that, you know, we can apply it. Your value is not going to change. Your taxes will, but I'm not going to give you a new notice of value.
You'll just see it reflected when the bills go out.
Yes. We can tell you what the value is, but you know, I'm not going to spend more money to to let you know that you helped us lose money.
So really the memo here is if you think that you might be you might qualify, and for a couple, you both don't have to have qualified with those with those criteria, it can be just one of you. Can you combine that?
No.
It's the same. It has to be in the same individual.
Yeah.
But then there's another piece of relief as well, the veterans exemption, which has gone up in value from $3,000 to $6,000. How does that work?
Okay, it's for veterans. You have to bring in your DD-214, which is your discharge papers.
So again, that's something you actively have to make an application for. It's not automatically applied.
Yes, okay. And then there is a range of dates, wars, different things that it's on a sheet of paper. It comes to us from the state of Wyoming. Basically, you've had to see active duty to get it. Not in every case. There's a certain range of medals that you have to show. I mean, you don't have to show us the medals, but you have to, it's on your discharge papers.
Sure.
There's a process, but that is $6,000 off of your assessed value. Now, that's not $6,000 off your taxes.
Okay, so that's quite an important distinction, because it's not $6,000 back in your pocket. It is, it's off your assessed value.
Yes, so if you use it on your home, it's approximately $400.
Right.
You know, last year it was $200, now it's $400. If you don't have a home, or if you have a trailer house or something like that that doesn't even, you can use your veterans on your license plates,
and that you can stack with another exemption. So you could have the 50% long-term homeowners reduction, and then in 2 years time go down to the 25% reduction, but you would always be able to apply your veterans exemption to that. Well, thank you. I hope we've cleared up some of the detail. Cap. Yes, the 4% cap. Thank you for reminding me about that. That was something that came in the previous session in 2024. Yes. And that stops property taxes from going above a 4% inflation. But there's a twist in that too, isn't there?
Yes. Okay, so last year it was for your improvement only. This year it was improvement and land. It's on residential properties, not on residential vacant properties. So you have to have a house on it. You have to have utilities on that property to get that cap. You also have to have, if you have to pay taxes on your completed home. You know, so like if you built a home today, you would not get the cap until 2 years from now when you've actually paid taxes on your whole house.
I mean, so that's a moving individual target for each individual yes. property owner.
And so that's kind of it's something that we have to navigate through because this is another new thing for us. But if there was a partial construction last year and it's built this year, then we have to we have to do certain things to that account to make it. But it does. It caps the land. And that was another reason when I chose to raise land values in several areas this tax term or this year, I knew that those same houses were going to get the 4% cap. So they were not going to have to pay taxes on any increase that I would put on land. It was capped 4% over last year.
Right. And does the cap sunset? Does that expire?
No.
No.
It's not sunset. So it's on until
so everybody will benefit from that because we can't see this runaway inflation that we did before. Right. If market values go crazy, it doesn't matter in right. terms of property tax because it cannot go above that 4% rise.
Yeah.
Some people I think had seen, you would know better, the increases sort of year on year of sort of 20-30%
yes.
Increases, which is a pinch.
Yes,
for many people. And that really is why we ended up with the exemptions that we did and the reductions and so on. So one point of confusion I think that maybe some residents have is what actually happens to their property tax dollars?
Okay, your property taxes pay for practically every service there is out there. I mean, they pay for your streets, they pay for your water to some set, they pay for your garbage, they pay for your hospitals, your police, your schools.
And property tax revenues stay in the county in which they
yes.
were generated. So we don't subsidize any other counties. They don't subsidize us in any way. So each individual county is somewhat unique because it all has its own unique composition of mm-hmm. Different types of property, different types of values, etc. What is the character of Johnson County when it comes to raising revenue from taxes, from property taxes?
I didn't quite catch your question.
So, what proportion of revenue that the county can spend comes from our property taxes? There are some counties in the state that are very mineral rich, Campbell County, for example, mm-hmm. and their property taxes, even if they were all being assessed at the same value as ours, is a very small proportion. It's a very small percentage of their total county revenue.
Right.
How is Johnson County placed?
I would say, I don't have this number in front of me. I haven't figured this number out ahead of time. But we're probably pretty close to a 50-50 right now. You know, back in our methane days when we were great there, we were probably 85% methane money
for
minerals.
Now and so,
we're probably close to 50%.
So if 50% of the money that we spend on services that just as you described, law enforcement, mending our roads, healthcare, to a certain extent education, although the state is prepared to backfill that from other funds should property tax be so low that there isn't enough money to sufficiently fund education. But those sorts of services and fire, for example, ambulance and so on, if the revenue that is garnered from individual property taxation, from taxing individuals for the properties and the land that they live in and own, if that dips down, there isn't so much money to spend on those services.
Yeah, I mean, it's I guess people have to realize that nobody likes to pay taxes, but they do pay for everything that you expect. And when that money gets decreased, I mean, there you go. I mean, do the math. I don't know. It's going to affect something. It has to.
Looking at this year, we've seen that there's a 50% reduction for 474 homeowners currently. Then there's also a 25% reduction across the board for anybody else. There's some smaller amounts. I would imagine the veterans exemptions don't make a huge dent. But that would suggest that county revenue is down, and therefore the amount of money that we have to spend on those services through special use districts and other county entities is going to be less. Is that fair to say?
Yes. With the 50% of our tax base basically being not, you know, basically county generated other than minerals or state utilities, you know, there's a percentage of that that's commercial. There's a percentage of that that is agriculture. But the percentage that is residential, that pays a lot of bills. For the city itself, it pays all the bills. And so when you cut 25, that's actually going to turn out to be like 27 or 28% with the 50% and the 25% combined. So you reduce it by that much, the city mill levy or dollars, it's going to have an effect on something. I mean, whether our water bills go up because of it, or I'm not sure what they're going to do. It's not my call. But
so are you cautioning boards and other entities who have the budgets, who oversee the budgets and decide how expenditures, are you cautioning them that the amount of a mill is going to be lower this year, and that therefore they're going to need to cut their budgets? Or is oil and gas production going to make up for some of the difference?
Well, I won't know our oil and gas production state assessed, which is utilities and pipelines and such. I won't get those numbers until the middle of June. I have indications on what they're going to be, and so my indications are that our oil is up a little bit from last year. It appears that it's going to offset some of what we've lost this year, you know, but until I get that number, it's not a done deal. I mean,
so this year, I've been at various meetings where it's been discussed, and the thought is, and your name comes up a lot in this conversation, is that a mill is going to be about the same as it was last year. And that seems a reasonable place to plan, but that's by no means certain going forward because of the variable.
It's not certain going forward, and that also does not affect the city. The city does not get county mineral money at all. They only get city generated taxes. So they are going to be down 20% regardless.
Okay, so the city is going to have less money to spend because of the way that the revenue generating structure is. They don't have access to oil and gas and mineral money, which happens in the county because that's where the mining of those materials comes from. And that kicks up shortfall a little bit. But that is also very market dependent on, and there are a lot of global factors in that as to how our local oil and gas industry is doing. Yes. And so if that falls off a shelf, then we would suffer a great deal. If it continues to rise, then we're more insulated. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. It's kind of complex and abstract to kind of understand, but I think the main point here is that local property tax stays in the county in which it is generated, and that is what pays for the things that the goods and the services and so on, and infrastructure that people like and want. And the question is that what we want to continue doing?
Yes.
Okay. So just going back, you've sent out the notifications. I would imagine people are happy. Is there anything, if somebody is not happy or they want to dispute something, what should they do? Is there some kind of formal steps? Is there an appeal process? What do you do if you look at your property tax notification, you say, well, yeah, it's good, but I think it should be a lot better. What is the process for them?
Well, first off, before you make the phone call to us, and make sure you go get to the bottom where it says estimated taxes for next year. Some people are calling before they even see that. They see the land value and it, and then they're automatically calling and they're upset. But they,
okay, so maybe you'd just like to talk us through what people are seeing, what you'd particularly like to draw their attention to, because it's a form that, you know, you look at and you don't really want to look at the numbers, do you?
Yes, the top bar, the top portion deals with last year's property taxes. It gives you, it tells you the legal description and land size, whatnot, fair value. It says previous year's breakdown. So last year, just say that there's a number, there's a fair value number, which is a fair market value, which is dollars and cents, you know. Then a level of assessment tells you that. You multiply your market value by 9.5%, it gives you assessed value.
And 9.5% is... That's the classification. That's
the tax rate.
That's the tax rate. Is 9.5%, and that is what has not moved. That is stayed, despite
the attempts to make it move.
Yes. So, if anybody's wondering, well, what about that Amendment A, the constitutional Amendment A that was voted on last November? That 9.5% figure could have changed if legislators had addressed that. Yes. They didn't.
They had. I mean, they could have made that 8.3, or with some other finagling, made it lower than that. They would have had to change industrial. But if just say that was 8.3%, then you can do the math and figure out what that would have done for you.
Okay.
Back to the form, the NOV. It's going to give you last year's tax. So look at last year's tax and go all the way to the bottom of your page, so you can see estimated tax using previous year's mill levy. Chances are that's a lot less this year because of all these exemptions. So that's the first thing people need to look at. Before they call. Then, I understand that last year's value might have been lower than this year's value because of market. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have been any different if we wouldn't have this, the exemptions.
So you may have lived in an area that has suddenly seen, you know, a lot of sales, maybe a lot more building and so on, and that is going to, yeah, it's going to make your property tax higher, yeah, but it also makes your property value higher.
Yes.
Because you're being driven up by those people around you.
Yes. And it's all, you know, we only look at the sales. So if somebody's building a $1 million house next to you, it's not going to affect your taxes one bit. They haven't sold that house yet. It's only if the $1 million house sells for $2 million that it's going to affect taxes, because that's a 50% appraisal rate. It's no different than the $100,000 house selling for $200,000, or in our case, it's usually the $300,000 house nowadays selling for $425,000 or $500,000 or $600,000, which we still see on a weekly basis. Not every sale, but we still see them.
Yeah, I mean, but property prices are very high compared to previously. I mean, even 5 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. And there doesn't seem to be a sense that that's going to cool. It might be, it's slowing down, but that's not the same as the prices and the values going down. Okay. So, let's go back to this.
When you get below the second box, which is this year's taxes, it gives you current year's assessment. It gives you land, structure, and anything else that's on there, the residential versus non-residential. Below that, it lists your exemptions. Now, if you just have the LTHO exemption, it's going to give
that's the long-term homeowners.
That's the long-term homeowners. It's going to give you a value that's under assessed value. Now, that value is 50% of your market value. Well, that number is assessed value. So first off, remember that that's 9.5%. That's assessed value, not market value or taxes. The long-term homeowners comes off of your two residential properties above combined. There's another form that I can print out on our end that I can show to somebody or email it to them or whatever, that actually explains it a little better.
So based on your own individual circumstances and numbers, you could actually see how that was comprised.
But it does give you the tax savings. Some of these are going to have four. They're going to have a residential cap on land. They're going to have a residential cap on their building. They're going to have a LTHO or a long-term homeowners or a homeowners. And they may have a veterans exemption on there as well. So they might have four lines on here.
Right.
That's going to make this number bigger and that number smaller.
Right.
Your bottom line should be smaller. The other form that I can print out, which it doesn't go here, doesn't go on the notice of value, but it clears it up a little bit. It shows you what your land value was last year, what it would be if it was capped, and what it is today, if you know, regardless of what the number is. It's going to show you what those values are. It gives you the exemptions that are coming off of each individual exemption in market value, and then in tax value. It doesn't show you the taxes on here. That shows you on notice of value. But this just breaks down where the values come from.
Well, thank you for talking us through that. If somebody still has an issue, they come in and call you.
You're welcome to just come in, but...
Is there a time after which you can't make any changes?
30 days after, May 23rd.
Okay. So if you've got a question about it, come before May 23rd and it can be reviewed. And so after that, you're stuck with it.
A few people came in that were upset that I couldn't see them right away because I had an appointment. So you might want to call first and make an appointment.
And make an appointment.
Because
okay.
I have lots of appointments.
Okay.
I've had several already this week.
Property tax has made your job a lot more complicated. That's pretty obvious with all these exemptions and reductions, but it's good news for property owners.
It's good news. I mean, you know, I'm a taxpayer too. I'm going to be glad to see the 25% reduction on my own taxes. I mean, who wouldn't?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, Steve, thank you very much for taking us across what's really very complicated. And I know that we've really only skimmed the surface on a lot of the... you know, complex factors that you have to deal with every day behind all of this as well. So I appreciate your time very much indeed. And thank you for taking us over the top of the new property tax reform.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.